Florence did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. In Richmond Park, the NHS training system blocks qualified doctors from becoming GPs, while surgeries struggle with severe staff shortages. Florence's journey through Health Education England reveals how Treasury spending caps create artificial scarcity in a system that issues its own currency, leaving training centres empty and communities without the doctors they desperately need.
I knew I wanted to be a GP when I was 8 years old, sitting in my grandmother's kitchen while she told me stories about being one of the first female doctors in Richmond. She'd qualified in the 1950s when women in medicine were still a novelty, and she spoke about her patients with such warmth and precision. My parents, Mum's a physiotherapist, Dad teaches music, always encouraged me to follow that dream. I studied medicine at Imperial College London with one clear goal. I wanted to serve my community as a family doctor. Every morning, I'd run with my rescue greyhound, Marlow, along the Thames towpath, imagining the practice I'd join, the families I'd care for. I completed my medical degree in 2014 and began foundation training at St George's Hospital. Everything was progressing exactly as I'd planned. In 2016, I applied for GP training places through Health Education England, Northwest London. I'd worked hard, my references were strong, and I felt confident about my interviews. Then came the letter. Out of 340 applications, there were only 180 places available. I hadn't made the cut. I called the programme director to understand what had gone wrong. "Dr. Barnes," he said, "this isn't about your qualifications. The Treasury has capped our training budget. We simply cannot afford to fund more places." He sounded genuinely apologetic, as though he was explaining a natural disaster rather than a policy decision. "There's nothing more we can do." At first, that explanation made perfect sense to me. Budgets have limits. Money doesn't grow on trees. I took a registrar position at Kingston Hospital and told myself I'd reapply next year. Surely by then, more funding would become available. I reapplied in 2017. Same result. The budget cap hadn't changed. "We understand your frustration," the administrator told me, "but there is no funding for additional places." I began to accept this as simply how the system worked. Some years there was money for training. Other years there wasn't. It seemed as natural as bad weather. But in 2018, something happened that changed how I understood the whole situation. I had a meeting at the Royal College of General Practitioners Training Centre in Euston. I arrived early and decided to look around. Floor after floor of lecture halls stood completely empty. Modern equipment, projection systems, comfortable seating for hundreds of students, all sitting idle on a Tuesday afternoon. I asked a facilities manager about it. "Oh yes," he said, "we have the capacity for 500 trainees here. Beautiful facilities, really. But Health Education England can only send us 200. He gestured toward the empty rooms. "Half our building sits unused most days." That conversation stopped me in my tracks. The training infrastructure existed, the trainers existed, the capacity existed. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? I started asking different questions. I discovered that 47 qualified doctors in my area were working as healthcare assistants because they couldn't access GP training. 47 doctors, trained and ready, reduced to non-clinical roles, while Richmond Park had a GP-to-patient ratio of 1:1,893, far below the national average. I met Dr. Sarah Chen at a medical conference. She'd been a locum for 3 years, desperately wanting to train as a GP, living in a flat 2 streets from the empty training centre in Euston. "It's maddening," she told me. "I walk past that building every day. I know they need GPs in South London. I want to train as a GP in South London, but apparently there's no money to connect me to the empty desks in that building." The more I investigated, the stranger it became. The UK government issues the pound sterling. It doesn't have to find pounds before it spends them. It creates them when it spends. The Treasury wasn't searching through coat pockets for loose change to fund GP training. It was choosing not to authorise the spending that would put qualified doctors into those empty lecture halls. I realised that every time someone had told me there is no funding, they were treating the UK government like a household that might overdraw its current account. But a household doesn't issue its own currency. The government does. The real question was never whether enough pounds existed. The real question was whether enough doctors, training places and patient needs existed. They did. All of them. I finally secured a training place in 2019, but only after 3 years of delays that had nothing to do with my abilities, the availability of training infrastructure, or the needs of patients in Richmond Park. Those years were lost not to any physical shortage, but to a political decision dressed up as financial necessity. I'm a GP now, running a practice that serves families across Richmond Park. But I think often about those 3 years, about Dr. Chen and the other 46 qualified doctors stacking shelves in the healthcare system while surgeries remained understaffed. I think about the empty lecture halls in Euston, about the patients who couldn't get appointments because the government that prints the money chose not to spend it on the obvious solution. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me I could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. What I understand now is that this isn't just my story. Walk into any constituency in England where people need healthcare and you'll find the same pattern. Qualified staff who want to train, facilities sitting unused, patients waiting for care, and someone in Whitehall saying there's no money to connect them. The constraint was never financial. It was always political.
What Florence experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique works by citing unnamed authorities who treat the household budget myth as self-evident truth. Just as tobacco companies once assembled panels of doctors to claim smoking was harmless, opponents of public investment assemble economists to claim government spending works exactly like household spending. When Florence was told there is no funding, the explanation relied on fake expertise, the assumption that everyone knows government budgets work like personal finances. The program director wasn't lying. He genuinely believed the Treasury might run out of pounds, the way a family might run out of savings. This belief persists because respected voices repeat it without question. The austerity objection here is typical. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The fake experts ignore what Florence discovered: empty training centres, unemployed doctors, understaffed surgeries. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. And in Richmond Park, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Richmond Park ranks 495 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation, 20 to 25, placing it in deprivation decile 10. The constituency has 873 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received were £35.3 million, according to 360, giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.